sharing with you a story, a parable, if you will, about a church who decided out of their boredom to host a 5K race. Now, if you weren't there yesterday, folks who ran our race and walked, they left that starting line and they were moving. I think it was because they were so cold, they were just ready to get going. But if you allow me, I'm going to share with you this story just a moment. Don't picture our race, but picture this small town that's bored, so they decide to host this race. Everybody's at the starting line, they're in their best running apparel, and they begin the race. Then you've got the guy who dropped to his knees, who is excited and that he has actually crossed the starting line. Then you've got the lady who's jumping for joy, high-fiving everybody that she is now a race runner. And there are several others who decided that they were thankful for being able to run the race. So they gathered in a circle and they joined in prayer, giving thanks to God. We thank you, God, that we're able to run this race. And we're thankful that we're not like the others who didn't come dressed to run. As you can imagine, the spectators that were there were just amazed. They were baffled by this strange scene in front of them. One turned to his neighbor and wondered, "Do you think we should join this race?" And so they did. They took off their coats, some went to their car and got their running shoes, and they started to run right past the guy who was on his knees who was just started the race. They went by the lady giving out high fives. They went around the group that was in prayer, and they ran the race. And with each step they ran, they found hope and joy. And as they ran each mile and each hill, they were strengthened. They had no idea how long the race was going to be, or when the finish line was going to happen. They just ran with joy and hope in their heart, and they were never bored again. So what does this story, does this parable communicate to us as the church, as individual believers? You know, I think that we would find it difficult to get folks to sign up for our race if they had no idea how long it's going to be. You know, folks, it says 5K on the sign, but we're just going to Forrest Gump this thing. We're just going to start, and we're just going to keep running and running and running. And I kept running. I'm sorry, that was a terrible Forrest Gump. I'll work on it. But then we might find it rather strange that those who would run the race and start it would all of a sudden be satisfied, be content just to start the race, but not to continue on. Now, I've been told that as you're training for a marathon, 4 to 6 months of training, they say that it's a victory just to make it to the starting line. All that mileage that you have to do, it can break your body down, and many times people are getting injured. So if you make it just to start the race, then that's the victory. But I can't imagine if you spent 4 to 6 months training and you get to the beginning of the race only to start and then stop. No, you'd want to continue on running. Well, we think that maybe, you know, the purpose of the race is to finish. But consider how long it takes to finish. When you cross that finish line, it's just a moment. It's just a second and you cross. Compared to how long it takes you to run the race is a lifetime. Perhaps the purpose of the race isn't just crossing the finish line, but it is running the race itself. There's going to be hope and joy. There's hope when you're running up those hills and you're hoping that that hill is going to be finished soon. And there's joy when you're going to downhills. You'll find yourself running the race by yourself at times. You'll find yourself running with teammates, being encouraged. you'll find yourself being able to stop close to that 2 mile mark, and Mr. Larry's going to pass you out some good water so you can rest. There's more to just starting the race and just finishing it. I think one of the things this parable teaches us most is that following Jesus is not a spectator sport. Being a Christian is more than just joining the running team, wearing your best running apparel, only to start the race and stop. We read in Matthew 4 that Jesus was on the go. He began his ministry moving from his childhood home of Nazareth to Capernaum, the home of Simon Peter. And as he began his ministry, he proclaimed, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." We read in chapter 4, and in fact, if you follow the life of Jesus, everything that he did was full of energy. The kingdom of heaven is near. We join God's kingdom when we become Christians, when we become believers, when we join the race to run. We are part of the kingdom. The question I want us to consider today, do we have that same energy of Jesus? Do we have enough energy in our faith to run the race? Or do we feel more like our get up and go has got up and left? Let's ponder this question this morning as we look at our scripture passage. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We're looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We've got Jesus who's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he calls out to Peter and Andrew, these two fishermen. They're casting their nets, and he calls them and says, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I will help you fish for people." And so their response, like, no, Jesus, we're fishing right now. We're a little busy. Fish are biting. No, wait till the off season. Wait till business is not as good. When I'm not so busy, then I'll follow you. No, we know that as soon as Jesus called them, at once, Scripture says, they left and followed. Now, this word follow is something they did literally. They left at once and followed Jesus, but it also communicates that they imitated Jesus. They imitated his behavior, his words, his actions. And Paul teaches this us in Thessalonians, that we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Well, a little while longer, Jesus comes across James and John with their father. And when he calls them, immediately they left to follow Jesus. And we can probably assume that they had already heard the name of Jesus. They'd already heard of this fellow, for them to be so willing just to drop everything and go. But I also imagine there was a tug on their hearts. This call they felt. "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishermen." Jesus called these fishermen, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. So for them to go and to fish for people, he's wanting them to go and to share their faith, to let others know that they are believers. to go and to spread the gospel. This is an invitation, a call with a purpose. He's not calling them just to come to church or just to come to a Bible study. He's calling them to ministry. Folks, do we have the energy to accept the call of Jesus to ministry? Let's go back to this question then. Do we have enough energy to run the race? Do we have enough energy to accept this call to ministry? It's important to note here that many of the Jewish rabbis, the teachers, what the disciples called Jesus at times rabbi, they also too had disciples. But their disciples would go and seek out the rabbi, whether they are under the fig tree teaching or at the synagogue or wherever they might have been. The disciples were the one who sought them out. But we see here in Scripture that Jesus is the one seeking out the disciples. Jesus is the one going out and recruiting those to follow him. Do we have the energy to go out and to recruit those to follow Christ? The challenge for us as disciples, for us as believers, is simply to get up and to go. To join into the race, to be participants with God on God's mission. To accept the call to ministry. To accept the challenge to go up and witness. To share our faith with others. In Segovia, Spain, there's an ancient Roman aqueduct that was built in the year 108 AD. And as you can imagine, through the years, many tourists would go to this town just to see this wonder of engineering and architect. About the mid-1800s, the people of the town decided they want to really preserve this aqueduct. They put up plaques to let everybody know that this is a historical landmark. But they also decided they're going to give it a rest. So they diverted the water flow that was coming down from the mountain, and they channeled it back through these modern city pipes. And they celebrated their accomplishment. But what happened within 2 years, this aqueduct began to crumble and to break apart. You see, as the hot sun would bear down and the heat, it caused the mortar to crack and to crumble. And no longer did it have this cool mountain water flowing through the aqueduct to protect it from the sun. It was gone. And so this aqueduct that functioned with this purpose for over 18 centuries and less than 2 years of being idle started to crumble. Folks, God does not want us as the church to be idle. He wants us to get up and to go and to be on mission. He wants us to accept the call to ministry like Peter and Andrew and James and John did. He wants us to go out and recruit others so that they will know the goodness that God has, the blessings that he gives and bestows upon us. I shared a little bit about our race yesterday. And I wanted to briefly close with telling you about a runner that I met for the first time by the name of Abraham. Abraham, after the race, he came up to me and he was asking about our mission partnership in Guatemala. And as I started to share a little bit about what we do and how this race money will support that partnership with those in need in Guatemala, I said, "How did you hear about our race?" He lives in Forest City. He said, I was going online and I was planning around in a race in Hickory, but I saw your race for missions that was going to help Guatemala, so I decided to come. And I said, well, do you know Guatemala, or in Spanish, are you from Guatemala? And he says, I am. I'm from the northern part of Guatemala, Patan. It's a beautiful area of the country in the rainforest. And so he was traveling all the way from Forest City to come run our race because he knew firsthand the struggles that his people faced with poverty, with the challenge to find jobs. And so he came here to America and he ran this race to give back to those that are in need. Just that one little part of coming and participating, he was able to give back just a little to those that are in need. Folks, we don't all have to be runners in this race. We can get up and walk, but God has placed before each of us unique opportunities, unique gifts, unique strengths, that whether it's at our school, at our work, our family, our neighborhoods, that's our mission field. Those are the people God is calling us to go and to serve. Places of ministry, places to go and help others, places to share Christ with those in need. Our challenge is to get up and to go, to realize our energy comes from Christ, who strengthens us and empowers us to go out and to share the gospel. Will you join me in prayer? We thank you, God, for all the many ways you've blessed us. Especially during this season of Thanksgiving, Lord, we are blessed as a church. We're blessed as a nation. We're blessed individually as believers, Lord, and we just give you thanks for Christ. Lord, we pray that we'll be able to just give back to you a portion of those blessings. That, Lord, I know that myself included, that I get tired. I know we get tired, Lord. We just pray that you will give us the energy we need to answer that call to ministry, to get up and to go to help those that are in need. We thank you, God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you most importantly for your Son who died on the cross for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.